your reaction to that recent news report that said there's no strong evidence to back up the recommendation that we floss our teeth every day? Will you continue to floss or not? Or will you not feel guilty for not flossing as much as you thought you were supposed to? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, August 9th. The Associated Press filed open records requests to find out about the studies that have led to the often preached recommendation that we should not only brush our teeth, but we should floss our teeth every day. If the scientific studies show little evidence that flossing helps, should we be continuing this practice? Well, our guest dentist says yes, and he'll answer your questions not only about this new flossing controversy, but about good oral health care habits in general and how we can keep our teeth and our mouth and our gums healthy. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dr. David Clemens, Vice President of the Wisconsin Dental Association and Community Water Fluoridation Spokesperson. He was also a commissioned officer in the U.S. Public Health Service for more than 20 years. He is a general dentist who lives and practices in Wisconsin Dells. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. So the Associated Press, under the Freedom of Information Act, asked the Departments of Health and Human Services and Agriculture and others to provide evidence that flossing works. They wanted the studies that said that this is what we ought to be doing. And I guess what they discovered is that there's very little strong evidence that this works. So what's your reaction to this?
Well, that would be accurate. I've done some research myself preparing for this and realized that there really isn't strong evidence indicating that flossing is effective. But it isn't so much that there's evidence against flossing. It's just that evidence has never been gathered. I mean, nobody's done the studies, long-term studies with large groups of people that prove that it has the effects that we believe it has.
So because it was just considered maybe common sense that flossing in between the teeth and getting rid of that debris was going to help?
Yeah, if you think about it, my favorite analogy is to compare it to bathing. Nothing's ever been shown that bathing does any good for you either, but I'm not going to stop bathing.
So you're, I'm assuming that you might have been asked by some of your clients, hey, what's the deal with this? So your recommendation is, despite the lack of scientific studies, you know, double-blind studies or whatever the heck, you're saying continue to floss.
Yeah, I really feel strongly that there's enough out there. It is a little bit like you just said. Common sense tells you that you can't leave things between your teeth and expect your gums and teeth to stay healthy.
Yeah. So are you concerned? Are you upset? Are you mad at the Associated Press for putting this news report out?
No, actually, I know that the dietary guidelines were announced in 2015, and at that time they took out the recommendations for flossing because they had been questioned about the amount of information out there. They can only put things in the dietary guidelines that are supported by scientific evidence, and when they were looking, somebody challenged them in 2015, so they took it out because they couldn't find the evidence.
Yeah,
I'm not really upset by it.
I failed to mention that, and I was kind of curious as to why dietary guidelines are telling us to floss.
Why that was included. Yeah, that's true. I think they probably just went with the common everybody's advice. If you were to go to almost any dental office or speak to any dental hygienist, you'd hear the same advice.
Yeah. So because the federal government pulled it out of the dietary guidelines, that's what piqued the AP's interest as to why that happened. And how we got the report that we got last week.
Yep, that's the way I understand it.
Yeah. So how long has flossing been recommended, like by the American Dental Association?
Well, actually, I did find that they've been advocating it since 1908, and they just came out with a statement even after this AP report and still continue to advocate for it.
So that's their story, and they're sticking to it.
That's right, and it's been around a long time. They actually created floss back in 1874 was the first notice of it out in public, and the federal government started advocating for it in 1979, but the American Dental Association has been advocating for it much longer.
Yeah, so when flossing was first recommended, what was the reason behind the push for flossing and it being so important to our oral health care?
Well, it's real clear that people develop plaque on teeth if you don't do something to clean that plaque off. Plaque has always been something that we know causes cavities and periodontal disease. So we need to get it off, and brushing doesn't really reach between teeth well, so you really need to do something to clean between teeth. I imagine toothpicks were used even back by people, hundreds of years ago to try to get things out of when it gets trapped between your teeth. Floss has some benefits. I'd say that one of the biggest benefits is it doesn't traumatize the tissue as much as a toothpick can, and it does get food and material out from between teeth, scrape plaque away. That can be shown. It's just it's never been studied in a long-term study and proven that has had any effect.
Yeah. We're all friends here. I hear your kitty asking for breakfast in the background. I love that. Pay attention to me.
Yeah, I'm wondering, what am I talking to this little tiny phone for?
I know, when there's petting to be done. in any case, so do you think it would behoove anybody to have a good, big scientific study on the benefits of flossing?
Yeah. Yeah, I think this will probably get that rolling.
Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. So?
Yeah.
Brad,
I do. And there has been one study that was pretty good quality, just pretty short term, where they professionally flossed people's teeth for, let me see, I've got this written down. Like, there were children between the ages of 4 and 13, so they professionally flossed their teeth daily and compared them to those who did not floss, and found that this happened. They did it for over a year and found that they had a 40% fewer, lower rate of cavities in that group. So they showed that professional flossing worked, but they haven't shown that people flossing their teeth on their own at home works.
Oh, because maybe we don't know how to do it, or we say we do it 5 days or 7 days a week, and we really don't.
Yep, that'd be pretty accurate.
I don't know where I got that from. So what about, not only do, you can say go ahead and floss, but the proper technique has to be taught as well.
Yep, that's correct. And it'd be real easy to do it improperly. I mean, there are many types of interdental cleaners, and floss tends to be preferred because when you slide it between your teeth, you're not forcing your teeth apart. If you do it properly, you don't wound the gum. But some people will push the floss up into their gum till they can feel it. And if you're doing that, then you're probably doing some damage. So there are people who can actually create problems by flossing aggressively.
Yeah. So the recommendation from you and from the American Dental Association is floss once a day, every day?
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah. And we have Brad on Facebook who says, here's a better option. Put some toothpaste on a proxy brush and clean between the teeth. A problem with flossing, like brushing, by the way, is that most people don't do it with proper technique. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't even know exactly what a proxy brush is. So he says that would be better than flossing. What do you think?
Well, that will work for some people. It's a proxy brush is a small brush. It's circular, shaped like a tiny Christmas tree, and you can place it between your teeth and brush in and out. So for many people, that brush won't reach between their teeth because their teeth are too tightly spaced, or the gum fills the space completely. For older people who've had some gum recession, a proxibrush can work great, but it can also cause damage if you do that a little too aggressively.
We're going to check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue talking with Dr. David Clemens, who is the Vice President of the Wisconsin Dental Association, about flossing. To floss or not to floss, that is the question following that AP report last week that suggested there aren't scientific studies that prove the benefits of flossing. But Dr. Clemens says, well, floss anyway. We wonder what you think, what questions you have, and we welcome questions beyond flossing if you have other oral health care questions. 1-800-642-1234. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about oral health care this hour, and we're welcoming your questions about keeping our teeth and our gums healthy. Questions of any sort, though we are talking right now about flossing and whether or not we should continue to floss, even though there was this recent AP report saying that none of the studies show that flossing is proven to be effective. But our guest dentist, Dr. David Clemens, says floss anyway. What do you think? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. But you might have other questions beyond flossing when it comes to taking care of your teeth or your children's teeth. We welcome those questions as well. Dr. David Clemens is Vice President of the Wisconsin Dental Association and also a community water fluoridation spokesperson. He was also a commissioned officer in the U.S. Public Health Service for more than 20 years. He's a general dentist who lives and practices in Wisconsin Dells. So, Dr. Clemens, floss once a day, at least, is still your recommendation, still the recommendation of the American Dental Association. In addition to what for good general oral health care?
Well, you've got to prevent decay and gum disease, and the way to do it is to remove plaque. It always tends to build up on teeth, and especially along the gum line. So I would strongly recommend that you brush your teeth with a fluoridated toothpaste, floss, and when the study was done to determine whether people preferred to floss before or after they brush, it came out 50-50. Dentists usually recommend that you floss before you brush so that the fluoride can reach the surface of the tooth and have some good effects there. And you should have professional examinations and cleanings regularly. Dental hygienists are very good at teaching people how to floss properly, so that is also extremely effective for people.
Well, I happen to know from personal experience that sometimes even my brushing and flossing doesn't get as low as I should get, because it only goes a certain amount of distance below the gum line. And if you are experiencing some issues, you might want to have that deep cleaned by your dental hygienist.
That's true, and it's especially prevalent among smokers. With smoking is very detrimental to periodontal health or the health of your gums. So they tend to have deeper pockets around the sides of their teeth and do need the deeper cleanings more frequently.
Yeah. So why isn't going to a dental hygienist to get a regular cleaning or a deeper cleaning every 6 months enough?
Well, it is in most cases. People's needs are very different. There are some people out there who don't brush very well and don't ever get a cavity, and others who brush moderately well and still get cavities. So, you kind of have to individualize the treatment that's provided. There are people with gum issues that do need to get their teeth cleaned more frequently than every 6 months, and there are some people who don't need it every 6 months. They could go a year and even longer sometimes.
Oh, but I meant why I'm trying to get out of flossing here. Not really, but if you know, if we aren't good flossers, isn't the dental hygienist going to take care of that when we go to the dental hygienist every 6 months?
Yeah, well, it's more of a daily thing. If you don't do it daily, that plaque builds up and starts creating damage. You're reminding me of an episode of Simpsons where Bart Simpson was getting up from the dental hygienist chair and he was handed the bag with toothpaste, toothbrush, and all those things. He looked inside and he said, "Oh, yeah, fat chance. Like, I'm going to go home and do your job."
So what you're saying is that if we're not flossing in between those every 6 months dental visits, we're going to need to go a lot more often to the dentist because that plaque buildup is going to just be too much.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah. So what? Not to ruin people's appetites around breakfast time, but what exactly is plaque?
It's a film of bacteria. Actually, there are over 500 bacterial species in plaque. It's called a biofilm. So the bacteria will form kind of understandable terms, like a little gel around them that will stick to the tooth. Some of those bacteria are actually good for your mouth, and others are bad. We know that plaque and other items like sugar and combined with sugar will create acids, and the acids will damage your teeth. So it's a film that is always around and wants to spread. So when you're brushing and flossing, you're trying to remove that plaque.
Mm-hmm. And I remember way back when, don't eat a lot of candy or sugar. That's going to give you cavities. Is that true? Does sugar give you cavities?
Yes, it does. And that one hasn't been removed from the dietary guidelines. In fact, they've come out even stronger saying that we need to cut the amount of sugars that we consume because they cause more damage than just to your teeth and gums. They pretty much can hurt you all around.
Yeah, so it's any kind of candy, right? I mean, just candy or sugars of any kind. If you eat them, what if you brush right after you eat them?
That's the best way. If you're going to eat candy or I'd like to point out pastries at this point, too, because you've got those complex carbohydrates that mixed with sugars that really do a good job of sticking to teeth. And if you leave them there, they're going to do some damage.
Like those monster cookies that I brought into work today.
All right. Yeah, make sure to brush right after you get done eating all those.
You know, some people here at Wisconsin Public Radio, I'll walk into the bathroom at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they're in there brushing their teeth. I guess I should admire them, huh? I mean, they must be doing it more than twice a day.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt to do it more often unless you're extremely aggressive or using stiff bristled brushes.
Yeah. So, what about the for proper brushing? I've always been told to get a soft bristle brush. Why do they even sell medium and hard and all that?
That's a good question. They've been advising soft bristle brushes for as long as I've been a dentist, which is now 36 years. So I don't really know why, unless you're using it to polish grass or something.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe you need it for the grout in your bathroom. So soft bristles, though, are recommended because that's not going to cause any damage to your tender gums, yes?
Correct. And you'll see people who actually cause recession of their teeth or sometimes can wear little notches into the root line of the tooth from aggressive brushing.
Yeah. Is there a certain type of floss that is better than other? I mean, I'll see like a whole rack full of different kinds of dental floss. Is there one that, I mean, different strokes for different folks or what?
Yeah, it's a good question. There are waxed flosses, unwaxed flosses. There are some made with Teflon, like a Glide floss. Those won't shred as easily. It kind of comes down to personal preference because some people will feel that they can slide a type of floss in easily and do the work. Others will feel they want the threads of the floss to spread out so that it's actually feeling like it's scraping on the tooth a little bit more. So there are many types of interdental cleaners, floss, little brushes like that Proxa brush someone mentioned earlier, one called a soft pick. created by Butler Company that I prefer because it's a little smaller and is less likely to do any damage. You have your water picks, different kinds of air flossers. So there are a lot of techniques. Even the electric toothbrushes will say that they're effective in cleaning between teeth. But it's pretty hard to prove these things.
Justin on Facebook just posted, not flossing would be the same as going to the bathroom and not wiping.
I'll stick with the bathing analogy.
He says it is gross. How else are the sides of your teeth going to get clean? Well, brushing would get the sides of your teeth clean, but I suppose the inside in between the tooth teeth, a set of teeth would. Not to mention bad breath from food particles getting stuck in between the teeth. When people have bad breath, is that often the cause, Dr. Clemens?
It can be, yes. Cavities, periodontal disease, inflamed gums, that they kind of can ooze a little fluid from them if they're inflamed. And yes, that could be one of the sources of bad breath. Oftentimes it comes from the back of the tongue as well. Bacteria that start to grow back there and can create a more of a sulfur smell. It's not pleasant.
Yeah. We are talking about oral health care, and we're welcoming your questions about keeping our teeth and our gums healthy. What questions do you have? What practices are you questioning, or maybe what should we add to our regimen? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our conversation was prompted by this Associated Press report saying there is no hard evidence that flossing is effective, but our guest dentist is saying that that's because there really haven't been any big studies done on this, because it's sort of common sense. You're cleaning out food from in between your teeth, and nobody thought that you needed to have some huge scientific study on this. But he suspects maybe one might be done in light of this lack of evidence. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Now we have lots of callers, so let's go to the phones. Monica in Pewaukee is with us. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I love your program, and today I find it very interesting. It reminds me of growing up in Mexico. We were always told at school and at home that we should be brushing at least 3 times a day, and at least was really emphasized. It was pretty much expected that we brush at least every time we ate a snack or a meal, with big, round soaps that also took care of the gum, instead of the tiny little brushing up and down or the tiny little circles that sometimes one hears. And that's it. I'll listen to your comment of the air.
And I'm sorry, Monica, I missed that. So what was the implement you were using? How was it different?
Well, we were just supposed to use the make big circles while we brush all over our mouth.
I see.
And cover the gum instead of doing that, you know, just up and down on the teeth.
Right, not just up and down on the teeth, but circular motions that would also brush the gums. Dr. Clemens, what is the current recommended technique for brushing?
We don't recommend brushing over your gums specifically, because some people will damage their gums if they brush aggressively. So we do recommend that you aim the bristles of the brush toward the sulcus, which is the edge of the tooth right where it meets the gum. So you aim the bristles there at a 45-degree angle, and you make small movements. You don't do big scrub brush movements. You do little wiggling circular movements. The idea is to break up the film of plaque so that it can easily be washed away. And that we do strongly recommend that fluoride be used, because fluoride in toothpaste has been proven to work in many, many large studies. If you notice that they did not take away the recommendation to brush your teeth, that has been proven to be effective. And there's a lot of strong evidence showing that that causes both creates prevents both cavities and gum disease.
And two times a day or three times a day or after each meal or anything you eat?
The current recommendation is a general rule is to brush twice a day. And some people would like to do it more often. Quite often that's just to freshen your breath. And if you happen to do that, you just don't want to be very aggressive with it. If you did hard brushing, you know, multiple times a day, you're likely to cause some gum recession or some damage to your gums.
Yeah, and talk a little bit more about fluoride. Even adults should use a fluoride-containing toothpaste?
Yes, they should. That's been proven in many large studies and has no ill effects. That's been done in studies since 1956 when it was first discovered to work, and that has beneficial effects for adults as well. The reason for that is the fluoride works topically. It lays against the surface of your teeth and will strengthen the crystal that's there. It actually creates a hard veneer over the surface of your tooth that's resistant to acid erosion. So as you're older, you might get a little gum recession, and the fluoride will then reach the newly exposed surfaces and harden them.
And it seems to me, maybe this was a couple of years back, a few years back, there was some talk about fluoride being in everything. Fluoride's in our mouth rinses, fluoride's in our toothpaste, fluoride's in our water. How much fluoride do we need?
Yeah, they actually reduced the amount of fluorides recommended to be placed in water, community water supplies, because they felt that just what you said, that that's showing up in bottled water, it's in sodas, it's showing up in more places than it had ever been before. So they've reduced the levels to try to keep that from getting to a point where it causes problems. Really, if you think about if you get too much fluoride as a child, you can get spots on your teeth that usually shows up as little white spots, and it's called fluorosis. And that's the damage that can occur if you get too much fluoride. That almost never occurs unless a child were to eat toothpaste, swallow it while they're brushing.
Which it has been known to happen, but not that much. Nick in McHenry, Illinois is with us. Hi, Nick.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. What is your question?
Actually, not a question. I just want to make a comment. I think for years I was brushing my teeth in a wrong way, did not know the right technique, wrong toothpaste, not flossing. And it came to a point where I was almost losing one of my tooth on the bottom side. So happened to go to the right doctor. He educated me and showed me how to do it, how often to do it. And, for example, and I'm not going to name names, but the toothbrush that vibrates real soft and actually rejuvenates your gums. And instead of going right to left, it was just an up and down motion, and then you're using the right toothpaste, which is for sensitive teeth, and then white band flushing. So I've been doing it a couple of days, a couple times a day, and it's been great. I go to the doctor, have my teeth cleaned four times a year as a result of that, because the environment of my mouth is such that the saliva builds the plaque, and I had to go and do that. But using the techniques has really salvaged the tooth that I was losing, and I feel great. Every time I do that, it's like,
congratulations, Nick. I'm glad here's a success story. So you can even save a tooth that's perhaps in danger of being lost, David, Dr. Clemens, if you start doing this?
Yeah, actually, that's where I like to point out the individual treatment plans that are given to people, usually by hygienists, on how to clean their teeth properly, and they'll help you find the spots where you might be making a mistake and help you get better at it. I'm very glad to hear that Nick had success and that it's working so well for him.
We will talk when we come back about electric toothbrushes versus manuals and some other tips and techniques for good oral health care. And welcome more of your questions at 1-800-642-1234. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. To floss or not to floss is the question after that AP report said there's no studies proving that flossing is effective. But our guest says floss anyway. Dr. David Clemens is the vice president of the Wisconsin Dental Association. He's also a community water fluoridation spokesperson. He was a commissioned officer in the U.S. Public Health Service for more than 20 years. He is a general dentist who lives and practices in the Wisconsin Dells. And he is here answering your questions about oral health care. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Dr. Clemens, our caller was talking about a brushing technique, and it reminded me whether should we use an electric toothbrush or I guess the old-fashioned manual toothbrush.
You know, that really comes down to personal preference. There are people who believe that the electric toothbrush works better, and it's certainly been the case, my own personal experience watching people. Some people damage their gums by brushing too aggressively or just don't get into the right places, and you give them an electric toothbrush and you see that they're more and it's more effective for them. So for many people, yes, an electric toothbrush can be worth the investment.
And I think that my electric toothbrush is timed specifically to go, I think it's 2 minutes. Is that how long we should be brushing if we're not using an electric toothbrush?
That's correct. And it surprises some people. With that timer on there, it really makes you know that sometimes you think you've done 2 minutes and the timer hasn't gone off.
Oh, there, yeah.
Sometimes it done quick.
It really does surprise me. Sometimes I like, oh, boy, I'm going to use my regular toothbrush because I don't have time for 2 minutes. But it's surprising how long 2 minutes really is. Ann in Madison is with us. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm 59 years old, and when I was young and we would run out of toothpaste, my mom would have us use baking soda. And we found that that made our teeth white. So over the years, I would use it on and off, and then I was told that I had worn away the enamel on my teeth and was prescribed a prescription toothpaste that they said would remineralize my teeth. So I have a couple questions. Will toothpaste repair your teeth? And when I went into my dentist for a deep cleaning, which was done by a hygienist, why would it cost over $1,000 just to get your teeth scraped?
I don't know if our guests can talk about specific prices that other dentists for different procedures do, Ann, but maybe generally you can. It seems to me that for a cleaning, that sounds kind of pricey, but I mean, it costs money to have some intensive of dental procedures, doesn't it, Dr. Clemens?
Yes, it does. It's surprising at what costs can reach, but I agree that it's hard to speak about it because each treatment is different. So a normal cleaning might be as cheap as $70, where a deep cleaning with root planing and scaling is what we call it, can be over $200 per quadrant of the mouth. So that's times four, and it reaches up around $1,000.
There we go.
Those prices vary, of course, but it adds up pretty quickly, and that's a risk people take if they haven't had regular cleanings and they tend to get the deeper pockets, then that type of cleaning can be called for. I did want to speak, too, about the remineralization
yes.
idea, because it is true that with the proper toothpaste, you can remineralize your teeth. The way we see this most commonly is you'll see a dark spot on an X-ray, and you'll say, oh, here's a spot that's getting a little weak over here. Make sure you brush there, and you teach them how to go after that spot. And you can actually see the tooth remineralize. New calcium, phosphate, and fluoride ions reach into those crystals and can make that tooth strong again.
Yeah, so sometimes I see toothpaste that will say restores enamel. So should I look for that if that's what I'm concerned about?
Yeah, pretty much any toothpaste that's got the American Dental Association seal of approval will have that ability.
Okay. Charlie in Rice Lake has a question about toothpaste. Hi, Charlie.
Thanks for taking my call. I just have a question about whitening toothpaste.
One I commonly use and see is Crest 3D White. I was just wondering, since they're so, it seems so intensive, if they actually do bad for your teeth.
Yeah, what about those whitening toothpaste? Is that good or bad for our teeth?
Those can be fairly harsh on some people. I know for myself, I use a Pronamel or a Sensodyne because I do tend to brush aggressively. So for me, a whitening toothpaste would probably make my teeth sensitive. The anti-sensitivity toothpastes are great for those of us who have roots exposed as well, because roots tend to get sensitive easily. I want to point out that the reason, so you expose roots, maybe you get a little gum recession, and then your teeth can be extremely sensitive. Oftentimes that happens because you're eating a healthy diet with fruits. Fruits have high acids, or if you're drinking soda, the acidity actually reaches those surfaces, kind of strips away any proteins and things on the surface and allow the teeth to become more sensitive.
Yeah, so those sensitivity toothpaste or agents in other toothpaste that's good, especially for aging baby boomers. Am I putting that politely?
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
Mm. Yeah.
And when we talked a little bit about the whitening toothpaste, they're only moderately effective in whitening teeth. If you really want to whiten them, you need to use some sort of bleaching technique.
But if you use the whitening toothpaste, they could make your teeth more sensitive. I actually have seen Sensodyne with whitening, you know. So,
yeah, they try to put both ingredients in and say that they can do both, desensitize and whiten at the same time. That's pretty hard to do.
And I meant to follow up on the baking soda thing. I remember my mom saying that too. You know, use baking soda. Did that wear her enamel away? Was that harmful to use baking soda on her teeth?
It's one of those things that's been around for generations, and baking soda has not been shown to be effective in these large scale studies. Not as effective as a normal fluoride toothpaste. So they don't have. Most dentists don't really recommend them.
Yeah. Let's go to, thank you very much, Charlie. Lee in Madison is with us. Hi, Lee. Well, Lee might have dropped off, but she wanted to know about rinsing out your mouth with salty water. She wonders if that prevents cavities and wonders if it's similar to fluoride, warm, salty water or just salty water.
No, it's not similar to fluoride. It doesn't reach the tooth surface as well. What it's good for is if you were to have a wound in your mouth, salt water rinses tend to help heal that a little quicker. It's not really effective for cleaning teeth.
What about all the rinses that are out there? I happen to use, and I'm not even sure why, but I decided it would be a good idea to use a Crest Pro Health, and it was, use this to, I guess add to my oral health regimen. Are those rinses a good idea or a waste of money?
I personally don't use them, but again, it comes down to personal preference on that. Some studies show that they have some effectiveness. So I can't say don't use them, but I also don't promote them. One thing I would tell people is after you're done brushing your teeth, you don't want to take and rinse the toothpaste out aggressively. It's kind of good to leave a little film of it in there against the tooth. So spit everything out, but don't go in and try to rinse everything out, because you'll take away the fluorides that are actually helping your teeth and remineralizing them.
I'm doing it all the wrong way. So maybe I'll use that first and then floss and then brush. We'll see. Danielle in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, Dr. Clemens.
Good morning. What's your question?
I have a question. I don't frequently floss because my teeth are very close together and it usually results in my gums bleeding. I'm wondering if you can recommend an alternative for me.
Yeah, I would recommend soft picks.
Soft picks. Is that a water pressure pick? Is that how that works?
No, this is a little teeny rubber pointed tool that you can slide between your teeth, and it doesn't really damage teeth, even if they're closely, they fit tightly together.
Oh, it's that little rubber tip that used to be on the bottom of some toothbrushes, that type of thing, Dr. Clemens?
Well, that one would be big and blunt compared to a soft pick, but it's a fairly new product, and it does reach well between teeth for people who have tight spaces.
All right,
great.
So a soft pick.
So
all right, thanks very much. Good luck with that. Well, and that can be an issue for some people. If your teeth are packed tightly together, it's hard to get even a piece of twine in between.
That's true. There is a website that's actually pretty good at showing people techniques of keeping their teeth clean. It's www.mouthhealthy.org. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to make sure people, if you go on the internet and start investigating things, try to use reputable sources, the Centers for Disease Control or the Department of Health and Human Services or the American Dental Association, because there's a lot of bad literature out there saying that certain things will be harmful to you, and kind of scary articles that will make it sound like poisons are going to get you. And make sure you're looking at studies that have been, or at least reports that are from reputable groups.
You know, we have just a minute or so to go. Are there any other oral health care tips that you think are important that we haven't discussed, or that you think people ignore or don't even know about?
Well, in the very beginning, when we talked about this report that came out, they said there was a lack of evidence. And it's true, there is weak evidence for floss, but it doesn't mean it's a lack of effectiveness. If you ask any dental hygienist who evaluates people regularly, you'll be told that flossing is helpful, it is beneficial, it does keep you healthier. So although the evidence is weak, it doesn't mean that it is not effective. It still should be done. And like I pointed out in the beginning, there is no strong evidence showing that bathing prevents disease, but I'm going to continue to bathe.
Me too. Thank you so much for being with us. Dr. David Clemens, Vice President of the Wisconsin Dental Association, a community water fluoridation spokesperson, a general dentist who lives and practices in the Wisconsin Dells, telling us to keep flossing and to take care of our teeth. Thanks to Niaja Ellison and to Brianne Shasso for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. Tomorrow at this time, we'll talk about distracted driving. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.